Shalom to all. Today's office is about Basar Daf Ayin Aleph, and we are starting right at the top with a brand new Mishnah. And today's office sponsor Lilu Nishmas Marsh Merim Sar Basar Yaakov Moshe Her Neshama Should Have an Aliyah. And we continue discussing when a person sells a field, what's not included in that sale, even if the seller said, "I'm selling you everything in it," these things are still excluded. I remember at the end of the previous Mishnah we had spoken about a charav and a shikma, a carob and sycamore trees. If they were fully matured, they are not included in the sale. And here the Mishnah continues: Loisa Barv, Loisa Gas, Loisa Shavach. Not a water storage pit, not a wine press, and not a dovecot. Bein charav and bein yishuv. Whether they're desolate, meaning they're not in use, or even if they are in use, they're not included in the field because they're considered completely separate entities. However, even though these are still retained by the seller, Rabbi Kiva says that the seller has to buy back a path to his bar from the buyer, and this is because, as we've already discussed previously, Rabbi Kiva holds meicher ba'ayin yafe meicher, that when he sells generously ba'ayin yafe, and therefore he's selling the entire field, everything, not even retaining a path for himself to his bar, and so he'd have to buy that path back from the buyer. Whereas v'cham ra'im einetzarch, l'cham say he does not have to buy that path back because meicher ba'ayin ra meicher, he doesn't sell generously, he sells stingily, if you will, and therefore he not only retains the bar, but he also retains a path to it. Now, Rabbi Kiva agrees with Bancha Amar Loi that if the seller told the buyer, "Chutz me'elu, I'm selling you the whole field except for these things," that he does not have to buy a path back for himself. And that's because he didn't have to stipulate this. He didn't have to say, "I'm not including the bar in the sale." The bar is automatically excluded from the sale. And since he spoke it out, it must be that he's also retaining something else besides for the bar, namely, he's also retaining the path for himself. Now, what about the flip side? Machar la'acher, he sold the bar, for example, to somebody else. He didn't sell the field. He just sold the bar. Rabbi Kiva says, the guy who bought the bar doesn't have to buy a path as well, because again, meicher ba'ayin yafa meicher, and the seller not only was selling the bar, but also sold a path to it. Whereas the buyer has to buy a path. He only bought the bar and not a path. And again, that's because the chum hold meicher ba'ayin ra meicher. And now the Mishnah tells us a very important klal that has to do with all these exemptions that we've learned about previously. When was this said that the main thing is sold, but certain things are excluded from that sale, but meicher, that's only what a person is selling. But if a person is giving this field, for example, as a gift, he gives everything that's inside, because the very core idea of giving a gift is that you're trying to do something ba'ayin yafe. So of course he's going to be giving everything, even the things that usually are excluded from the sale. Another din, brothers that split their father's Yerusha, when one of the brothers is zaycha in a field, he's zaycha in everything in the field. That's because even though usually with a sale of a field, there are certain things that are not included in that, since they're splitting things, and one brother is taking this field, the other brother is taking that field, they're both meichel to each other, the things that technically would be retained in the sale. And another din, hamachzik b'nechsei ager, somebody makes a chazaka in the nechasim of a ger who dies, that doesn't have any relatives, so his property is hefker, it's free for the taking, and a person made a chazaka in his nechasim, hechzik b'sadeh, hechzik b'kula, even though all he did was make a chazaka in the field itself, that's considered chazaka on everything in the field, even on things that are usually excluded in a sale. And lastly, now we have machlekes, hamaktish is a sadeh, let's say somebody is maktish a field, hechzik is kula, he's maktish everything that's in that field, and that's because maktish ba'ayin yafe maktish. Whereas Reb Shimon says maktish is a sada loy hikdash elas acharav hamurkav es sada nashikma. If a person maktish a field, he's actually not maktish anything that's inside except for two things: a fully mature acharav and shikma that we've spoken about previously. Those two things that are in the field are automatically included and are considered muktish as well. And the Gemara is going to discuss why that is. The Gemara begins by asking mashna mecher mashna matana. What's the difference between mecher matana? Why is it that we say that when a person sells a field, that there are certain things that he's going to retain for himself, but when he's giving it as a gift, he's for sure giving everything away? Where do we get that from? So Pirish Yehuda ben Akus lefnei Rabbi, Yehuda ben Akus explained in front of Rabbi, Zeh Pirish v'zeh loy Pirish. The guy who gave it as a gift, he expressly stipulated that he's giving everything, whereas the guy who sold it didn't expressly stipulate that he's selling everything, and that's what the difference is. However, the Gemara right away asks, Hi, Zeh Pirish v'zeh loy Pirish? Is that really true? Does the Mishnah say that in one case the person expressed it, and in the other case he didn't express it? Zeh loy Pirish v'zeh loy Pirish, who, in both scenarios, selling and giving, he didn't express what he's giving or what he's retaining for himself. So the explanation of Yehuda ben Akus doesn't fit with the Mishnah. The Gemara says you're right. El rather, what's the difference between giving and selling? Zeh hayoloy lefarish v'zeh loy hayoloy lefarish. The guy who's giving the field as a gift, since as we explained, the whole idea of giving a gift is something that the person's doing with ayin yafe, he's doing generously. So if he wants to retain something for himself, he has to expressly stipulate it. He has to be very clear. And if he doesn't say anything, then we assume everything is included in his gift. But when a person is selling something, he doesn't have to stipulate what he's retaining for himself. The whole idea of selling something is that a person needs the money, he's strapped for cash, so begrudgingly, he sells something in order to get that money. And therefore, he actually does not have to stipulate that he's retaining something for himself. There are certain things that are automatically excluded from a sale, even without him having to say it. And that's the difference between selling and giving. I know we have a story about this. There was a fellow that told other people, Havu le laplanya base de machzik mea gulfi. Go give that fellow a house that holds 100 barrels. Basically, the area of the house should be 10 by 10 rows of barrels. That's 100 barrels. And this fellow's gifting house obviously has multiple houses, and he's just trying to describe which house he wants to be given as a gift. Now, Ashkach to have a machzik mea of Esrin, they found that the house that was given, basically, this was the only house that more or less fit the description. It fit 120 barrels, which is 10 by 12 rows, and not 10 by 10 rows. Now, Armazotra said, Mea Amarle, Mea of Esrin Le Amarle. The person clearly said, I want to give him a house that fits 100 barrels, not 120 barrels. Therefore, the receiver only gets 5/6 of the house, enough to fit 100 barrels, 10 by 10 rows, and not 10 by 12 rows, because that's all that was said. However, Vashi Amar Vashi said, Mila Tanan, didn't we learn in our Mishnah, but Medvar Amrim, when was this said? B'meicher, that when a meicher sells something, he retains something for himself. Afal b'nois matano, but if a person is giving a gift, nois in his kulon, he gives everything. Alma mandi yav matano ba'an yafayav. We see from here that when a person gives a gift, he's giving very generously. Hachinami so too over here, mandi yav matano ba'an yafayav. When a person is giving a gift of a house, he's giving ba'an yafay, he's trying to be generous, and he was just trying to describe the basic house that he wanted to give over, and he thought it was 100 barrels. He didn't realize it was 120, but obviously, since he's trying to be generous, he means to give that entire house of 120 barrels. And we quote the Mishnah, Makdish says, Sade, Hikdish, Vechulu. And remember, we have this Machlekes at the end of the Mishnah. If a person is Makdish his field, what's included in that? Is everything in the field included in that Hikdish? Or do we say that everything's excluded except for Charv and Shikma that's in the field? And the basic Machlekes is, do we say that somebody who's Makdish their field is like a Noisin Matana, and so therefore he's Makdish generously, and he's including everything in that Hikdish? Or do we say that he's like a Meicher, that it's like he's selling something, and there's certain things that he's retaining for himself, namely certain things are excluded from that? As we begin by the following discussion, Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says as follows, Afagav de Amar Rabbanon, even though the Rabbanon said, HaKanish Ne'ilonis B'Sech Shel Chaveroi, if a person buys two trees in his friend's property, HaReza Loi Kana Karka, he does not acquire the Karka underneath and around the trees, he's only buying the trees themselves. However, and here's the key din in Rav Huna, Mochar Karka, if a person sold his property, Vishir Shne'ilonis Lefanov, and he retained two trees for himself, he sold everything but two trees, Yeshle Karka, he does retain the Karka under and around these trees, and that's because we're going to see soon, and we actually also had this way earlier in the Masechta on Daf Lamed Zayin, that the reason why he wants to retain the karka as well is because if the trees die, he doesn't want to be told, take your trees and get out of here. He wants to be able to replant them, and the only way he could do that is if he's retaining the karka for himself. Now, this is Rav Huna's din. That's the end of the story. The Gemara now tells us, Vafila Rabbi Akiva, this would even be a contra Rabbi Akiva. The Amar Meicher Ba'ayin Yafa Meicher, who holds that when a person sells something, he's usually very generous. Hani Miligai Bar V'dos, that's regarding a barn of dos. Deloikam Echachashi Ba'ara, that's because they don't weaken the ground. When a person sells his house, and automatically excluded from that sale is a bar nedos, as we've said previously, and Rabbi Akiva holds in that situation that the meicher has to rebuy a path for himself to his bar nedos. That's because meicher buying yafa meicher, and he sells the entire property. That's because the bar nedos themselves don't ruin the ground, and so there's no reason that the seller should have to retain any land around it for himself. So he sells all the land, retain just the bar nedos, and that's why he would have to buy a path back to them. Aval ilanus, when we're dealing with trees, they do weaken the ground. The whole root system weakens the ground by drawing nourishment to the tree from it. And on Alephon Bez on top of Isa Deloy Shir, if you want to say that the seller doesn't retain the land under and around the trees for himself, Le Malay, so then the buyer could just tell the seller, once these trees eventually die, Akari Lanach Shkal Vazil, uproot your trees, take them and leave. I don't want you in my property anymore because your trees are ruining the soil, they're draining it of its nutrients, and I don't want them here anymore. And that's why the Gemara tells us, even Rabbi Kiva would agree to Rabbi Huna's din, that when a person sells his property but he retains two trees for himself, he's also retaining the karka under and around the trees so that he doesn't get kicked out later on when the trees die. However, the Gemara is going to ask on this. Tanan, our Mishnah says, Rav Shimon tells us, HaMakdish is Sadeh, if a person is Makdish his field, Loi Hikdish, El Charv HaMorkav Asad and Ashikma, he's not Makdish anything in the field, nothing's included in this Hikdish, except for a Charv and Ashikma. Now, Vatani Allah, a Braisa was taught on this statement of Rav Shimon, explaining it, Rav Shimon says, Matam, why is that? Why is it that these two things become Hikdish along with the property and nothing else is? And we're going to say that a Makdish is like a Meicher, and Meicher, Ba'ayin Ra Meicher, that a person retains everything for himself, and that's why only the property is Hekdesh and not the trees and not everything else in it. So then why are these two things included in the Hekdesh? And that's because all of Yankim stay Hekdesh, they're getting their nourishment from a field that's Hekdesh. Remember, we learned previously that when a person sells a field, even if he sells everything inside, a Charv and a Shikma are always excluded. That's because they're unique by themselves. However, in this case of Hekdesh, since they're drawing their nourishment from the field and the field is Hekdesh, so that means that the trees themselves also are Hekdesh. Now, what do we see from here? If you want to say that he retains the land under and around the tree, trees for himself. Well, kika yonki midanafshe kiyonki. When they're getting their nourishment, they're getting nourishment from his property, not from Hekdesh's property, and therefore they would not be Hekdesh. So it must be the Rav Shimon holds that the land is not retained with the trees. There's no shear of the karka, and that's why when a person's makdish the field, the charv and the shikma are included in the Hekdesh because they're getting nourishment from Hekdesh. Now, the bottom line is, this is a question on our understanding of Rav Huna, which I suggest that Rav Huna's din, that one is Mishara Karka, is according to everybody. Well, then how do we reconcile this with Rav Shimon, who clearly does not hold that? He clearly does not hold that there's a shear of Karka. I think my answer is you're right. This was a misunderstanding or a misinterpretation of Rav Huna's din. Really, Rav Shimon to Amar Rabbi Kiva, Rav Shimon of the Mishnah holds like Rabbi Kiva, who's his Rebbe, namely that Meicher Ba'ayin Yafe Meicher, and when a person is Makdish something, he's also Makdish Ba'ayin Yafe, and therefore he's Makdish the entire property, even the Karka that's under and around the Charv and Shikma, and that's why, even though he tried to retain the Charv and Shikma for himself, since they're getting their nourishment from Hekdesh property, they automatically are Hekdesh, whereas Rav Huna Damar Rabbanon, Rav Huna holds just like the Rabbanon, the Meicher Ba'ayin Ra Meicher, and it's only Shitas Rabbanon that Rav Huna's didn't make sense, that when a person sells a property and he retains two trees for himself, he also retains the property under and around the trees. The Gemara asks, Pshita, that's obvious. What's the Chiddush if we're saying the Rav Huna goes like the Rabbanon? This is something that we knew all along. And the answer is, Nafkamina, what's the difference? The Enoughly Hadar Shasaluhu, if these two trees that he retained for himself fall down, which means they die, he could replant them and he can't be kicked out of the property. In other words, before we had Rav Huna's din, we would say yes, and Shitas Rabbanon, he does retain that property under and around the trees for himself, but not to the extent that he's allowed to replant the trees if they die later on. Rav Huna's Chiddush is that he owns the property under and around the trees to such an extent that even if the trees die later on, he's allowed to replant them. And that's what we're holding right now, basically with a retraction of our understanding of Rav Huna's Shita, and that Rav Huna only goes like the Rabbanon, and Rav Shimon in our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Kiva. We're going to stop here for the day, but pick up tomorrow continuing to discuss this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.